welcome to Spark Your Fire podcast, sparking your interest in Australian property and finance. Here's your hosts, Jazz and David.
G'day guys, welcome back to another episode of Spark Your Fire. Excited to be here as always, given that we're starting to see some positive news emerging from the COVID-19 pandemic. So every week we're seeing some positive signs. It's always getting me and Jazz excited, right? Jazz, what do you reckon? Oh.
Definitely, mate. I mean, looking at the numbers and speaking to some of the agents and all, the sales are starting to take up. Still, the investor activity is a little bit low, but that's why we have got our special guest on the show today who can give us some update on the Perth numbers. Perth has been an exciting market for the last year or two where we have been hoping it will kick off. But without any delay, let's welcome him on the show. Dave.
G'day, guys. How are you going?
Not bad, buddy. Thanks for coming on the show once again. How are you doing?
Good. Very good, in fact. I'm most optimistic I've been in a long time.
I guess let's just step back a little bit. We did have Dave on last year, and I guess Dave Hall, David Hall from Momentum Wealth, your buyer's agent, mainly operating in Perth area. Is that correct?
That's correct. I've been buying in the last 12 months heavily in Perth and the Pilbara.
Yeah, nice, nice. And I thought, you know, that's why it's good to be able to get you back onto the show to give our audience an update on what's currently happening on the ground with Perth market, because I heard some interesting rumours about it starting to recover, isn't it?
Recover strongly, Dave, and it's really interesting. Typically, in a normal market, investors are around 30% of buyers. In Perth, what I'm seeing on the ground, and particularly some of the investor-only stock I've been buying, suggests that it's definitely under 10%, probably around 5%. So our recovery has been led by owner-occupiers, and it's really interesting. So I'll give you some numbers just to sort of give you an idea. So we spoke about this time last year, and there was very, very mixed messages in the Perth market. Some good, some bad, but it was, I'd just say, being neutral, I think, would be the best description. So 12 months ago, there was 16,109 properties for sale. If we go back to the start of COVID, there was 12,400 properties for sale. So stock has dropped 25% in a year, which is a big indicator. And I've got to be honest, I'm really struggling on the quality front for buying. Since COVID, so COVID started, we had 12,000 houses for sale. We're now at 11,300. And thanks to both a very generous federal and a very generous state incentives, we'll be sub 11,000 this time next week. Land sales are just, I'm trying to buy blocks for clients and everything's going, and it's going for prices that are leaving me scratching my head. But it's really interesting. So we've had 5 years of a falling, very unpleasant market. And tenants have been going, why do I want to buy a house? Rents are falling. House prices are falling. I'd be a mug to buy a house. And the turnaround has been as tenants are now seeing rent increases and they're seeing house price increases. And they're now going, oh, hang on. And those with the means are rapidly shifting across to owner-occupiers. So going back 18 months ago, first homeowners were around 20% of the market. A stat that I saw 2 weeks ago said that they were 37% of buyers. So
big jump.
Big jump. And we've just had, you probably haven't seen it, we've seen Scott Morrison's $25,000. And that in Western Australia, there won't be a lot of people that will actually qualify and be able to meet the criteria. But we've just seen a state government announcement, which is $20,000 to build on blocks of land. And that's open to anyone, investors, Mars and Pars, owner-occupiers. And speaking to builders yesterday, they're already worried about capacity, how they're going to meet all these new orders that are suddenly coming in. So very, very interesting market. And it's really interesting. The recovery, our recovery is we've had 5 years of a falling market and we've had 5 years of investors leaving the market. So selling their homes and they've bulk become first-time owner homes because of what the bulk of investor product is.
Mm.
And we're in a real crisis at the moment. So if you pick on suburbs, say, like Edgewater, there's only two properties for rent in all of Edgewater. You click on a Woodvale, there's only two properties for rent. I picked up a property last week in Kingsley. It's a four-bed, two-bath, and a one-bed, one-bath granny flat. And I was talking to my client and going, well, look, the market evidence is your four-bed, two-bath is worth $450, but you are the only four-bed home, or was that week, there's been two more, come on. So let's try it at $500 and see if we get it. Our rental market has just, it's getting so tight within that 20K CBD radius. You go beyond that and there's bountiful supply, but we're really in that premium 20Ks from the CBD, we're really seeing a very, very tight rental recovery. You know, the number of properties for rents dropped 38% in 12 months.
And why is that rental demand so strong within the 20K radius? What's triggered that?
So people want to live there. It's close to the beach. Mm-hmm. It's close to the city. And because the way our trains work, you're generally close to a train station. And it's a reasonable commute time. And that's where investors, you know, every investor I get says, I want to be within the 20K ring, because we know that that grows better. And what we've seen is we've seen those investors selling out over the last 5 years. So every week, there's actually less and less rental properties available to rent. Investors are still absent from the market and by in general, and that trend is continuing. So we're seeing both a kick and a carrot for renters at the moment. So the kick is rents are rising, stock is tight, and we're starting, we were definitely seeing it pre-COVID, we were sort of increasing rents $10 to $30 a week on re-rents, you know, one tenant left, a new one came, or your lease was up. Mm-hmm. We've had a cap imposed on us till September, so we're not going to see it in numbers, but we're starting now with the re-leasing, once again, we're seeing $10 to $20 to $30 a week more for rent. And every week, there's just less and less properties available to rent. It's, like I said, you just, I'll give you an example, another suburb I love, Craigie. A year ago, there was be 36 to 38 properties a week for rent. Last week, there was 12. We're really starting to get tight on the rental. My typical rental yield is 4.8 to 5.2%. Investor money's low threes. It's very hard if you to not get at least a neutrally geared property. Mm. And investors are absent because they're not seeing that large jump in prices through RP data. So Perth is very much a two-speed property market. That inner 20K ring is really, really tightening. So I'll give you an example. Last year, a suburb called Heathridge, I could buy a subdivisible, three-bed, one-bath home, 360 to 390, good condition, spend $8,000 to $10,000 and tenant it out. Today, that property is 420 to 450. Average days on market in Heathridge is 15 days. A year ago, I was the only person writing that offer, and I could play games and get a great result. Now I'll be one of three or four. And that's really, really starting to increase. And prices there are moving sharply. But we're not seeing it in the statistics because we've got the Beldiverses, we've got the Clarksons, we've got the Yanchips, we've got the Two Rocks, which are still falling. So when you average all of that up, the numbers you're seeing in RP data are not reflective of that inner ring.
So it's selective, basically, because if you look at from a high-level macro perspective, then the numbers don't reflect what's actually happening on the ground. But in terms of the specific suburbs that you pointed out, they are going strong. They're going very strong.
Like, I just challenge your listeners, just type in Heathridge and domain or realestate.com.au, pick a house, and just watch how long it stays on market for. Well presented, even below average, 2 weeks they're gone, multiple offers.
Wow, that's very strong result, I have to say.
Well, look, when I went for it, just to give an example in Heathridge, a cesspit would be kind. So you walk into the house, you get flea bites up the leg, stank, just not the cleanest of owners. I was offered the property off market and I said to the agent, look, we've got to repaint new, we've got to do everything. We're going to spend $40,000 to bring this house back to tenantable. It's worth $400,000. I want $10,000 in it for my client. I'll do you a deal at $350,000. She said, no. She got $400,000 for it. The ink dried and she literally had an offer at $420,000 an hour afterwards, done, renovated, completely done. It was worth $410,000.
Oh, wow.
So that's, you know, that fear of missing out
is
starting to bite.
So, David, I mean, makes sense. We're seeing that in Victoria as well to some extent, where the first home buyers, the genuine buyers, are really active in the market. And it makes sense for the first home buyers when you look at the interest rates, they are that low.
Yep.
And you compare it to living on a rent. To some extent, you go, you know what, it may, makes probably more sense to just buy the house at these interest rates.
Exactly. Look, you're the broker. You can pay $400 a week for rent in Perth, or you can borrow $600,000 to $650,000 and get a much nicer house.
Yeah, especially when the RBA or the some of the economists are talking about negative interest rates. But anyways, the point is the interest rates are low, makes perfect sense for the first home buyers, right? Talk a little bit about the investor activity, mate, up there. I mean, Perth is has been in the past very friendly to investors in terms of capital gains and all that, right? But the last few years have been fairly challenging. I know when we spoke last year, when you came on the show, the investor activity was starting to trend up and you yourself were looking at some of the subdivision projects. Those apartments and all, right? Where are we at with the investor activity, mate? And if anything has changed as a part of this COVID?
Yep. So look, pre-COVID, it was just starting to return. So if my phone was busy, it was getting to the point where I just couldn't return some phone calls. Investors were just not acting in large numbers, but putting their toe in the water, wanting the comfort that the market was doing positive things, and it definitely was. COVID hit, and the investors fled. So, and they're not back yet. The bulk of my clients are owner-occupiers, and the bulk of those are first-time owners. So investors saw the 0.4% drop, or 0.4%, 0.6% drop from RP data, which was basically picking up the numbers from when we were only selling 250 houses a week when all the open homes were closed, and they're still holding back. But at the same time, there's a really good opportunity. I'm going to give you two very recent purchases within the market targeting investor quality stock. So targeting the houses that really suit investors that owner-occupiers don't want. So one that I picked up in Bateman, we had an offer on the table at $750,000. It's a demolish and duplex site. It's 4 beds, 2 baths. My client was going to convert it to 5 bed, 2 baths by just building a wall, rent it by the room and make $1,000 a week in rent. Picked that up pre-COVID at $750,000. Because the property is tenanted, and it has a long lease on it till the end of December, owner-occupiers are not interested in it. Absolutely not interested in it. Right by two hospitals, a university, a TAFE, a knowledge centre has just been constructed, walking distance to a train station, and that property's set to be rezoned to R60 in the next 5 years. So put the offer in at $750,000. Had to exercise my due diligence clause and leave because my client's job suddenly went very shaky. Re-engaged the agent, and I got it under contract from $750,000 to $672,000 because of a very, very motivated vendor and a lack of buyers. because it was only an investor product. Another one, this one I picked up in Kingsley, a 4-bed, 2-bath home. Once again, going to do a renovation on that, convert that to rent by the room. It's got a granny flat. We're going to drop the granny flat. We're going to sell that block. It would have been 320 to 340, but with all these incentives, that block price is going to rise. We're going to renovate the house, rent that as rent by the room. The land will get 320 to 340 for. The house post subdivision's worth 520 to 540. Picked it up for 600,000. Once again, only an investor product, because your average ma and pa doesn't want a house with a granny flat. Yeah. And that's the real sweet spot in Perth at the moment, is that investor only product.
Do you see the investor activity increasing at a pace?
No, not yet. They're going to want to see RP data at 3 to 4% a month growth, or they're going to want to see rental yields above 5%, and then I think they'll all start coming in. But our real challenge at the moment is stock is so tight. And it's, you know, we've got more buyers. So, like, buyer activity is up 20% from this time last year. And it's all owner-occupiers. We've got more buyers than we do sellers. We've had 5 years of pain. So all the sellers that have had to have sold have sold. COVID really, from what I'm seeing, has had minimal effect other than on some poor, unfortunate tenants. I'm not seeing distressed sales. I've seen one bargain in COVID, just one. All the rest I've had to manufacture and work on. We're not in pain. Sellers are not going to bring stock on market till they can get the prices they got in 2012, which is 20 to 25%. There's less and less properties for sale. I know very good agents who feed me a lot of good quality stock. And, you know, one of them in particular is very good. He's got no listings and he's working. Don't want to sell. Don't need to sell. My rent's paying my mortgage for those investors, and owner-occupiers are going, I'm going to lose 50 grand. Why do I want to sell? A really, really interesting market. But once investors do come in, it will accelerate from what we're seeing at the moment.
The gains that you see in the market are traditionally mainly the reason is the investor activity pushes the prices up a bit, right?
Yep.
But if that activity remains low due to some of the reasons, no one's got a crystal ball over here, but what do you see in the next 12 to 18 months in terms of the growth? Do you see it
fair? Easy double digits. In the next 12 to 18 months, very easily double digits. You're right. Investors are typically the fuel that gets the fire burning. Our fuel is 5 years of renters not buying homes, now seeing very cheap money, now seeing that it's significantly cheaper to buy than to rent, and acting. That's our fuel. And that fuel's not going away. With the government incentives that we've had, we've just had a whole heap more fire put onto it. So, for example, one of our girls, she meets both the federal, the state criteria. So she's going to build a new home. She's going to get $45,000 in incentives, plus she gets the stamp duty exemption, and her situation is going to save her another $6,000. Plus, she'll get $2,000 towards her settlement costs. That's bulk of her deposit. It's the first-time owners that are going to start fueling it, and they already are. And that's my pipeline. It's the first-time owners. That's our fuel. Investors will jump on once they see a bit more rises, and then it will be very, very strong growth. And that around December is when I'm thinking we're going to start seeing some very strong numbers. Very rapidly hit our stride, and it will start around December.
David, I had some questions regarding commercial, but before we jump into commercial, have you got any more residential questions, David?
So I was more thinking about the unemployment side of things, and also maybe, Dave, you can give us a bit of update on the $20,000 WA state government announcement, which is just came out. I thought that could probably complete the picture.
Yeah, so it's $20,000 to construct a new home. There's basically no very limited qualifying criteria, so it can't be for an apartment. It can be for a villa, a house, or a townhouse. There's no income caps. You can do it as either an owner-occupier or an investor. It's very, very generous, and it's pretty easy to get. There's very few people that won't qualify for it.
Is there a citizenship requirement or PR or anything like that?
No, there's no citizenship, but you will get hit with the nasty stamp duty, which I think is 7% of purchase price.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Wow. I noticed the FIRB has actually closed down approvals last week. So that could be a separate problem for you.
Okay. But in essence, it's encouraging both the owner-occupiers as well as interstate investors, and the extent that if you are building a new home in WA, then you will be eligible, or most you will be eligible to the $20,000 grant to incentivize more building, given the fact that, as what you pointed out, it used to be 15,000 dwellings per year, and it has, for the last few years, been dropping down to about 5,000, even 4,000. So they want to speed up, and they want to catch up on the number of dwellings that they're vastly behind in the last few years.
But,
okay.
But the trick for investors is where you buy. Mm. Okay, so location in real estate is everything. Particularly if you're going to be chasing the federal grant, that all in Western Australia will only work in your house and land subdivisions on the city fringes. Just be very careful. A lot of those areas are already oversupplied, and they are still having falling house prices. So just be very, very selective where you're buying your land.
Okay. And so you're saying within, say, for example, the 20-kilometre ring, which is basically where you advocate on where that's the WA growth corridors are. The only way you can kind of take advantage of that grant is by subdividing the land and be able to build on it.
Or buying a subdivided lot. So one of the things I've been doing, I've got networks within the two largest surveying companies in the state. Mm-hmm. So one of the things I've done is, what land have you got at the moment that's going through the process, approaching those owners and picking it up off market?
Yeah, right. Okay. But if it's outside the 20-kilometre ring, are there any recommended suburbs that you have for our audiences?
No, outside the 20K ring, I would be, if it was my money, I wouldn't do it.
Okay. Okay. Fair enough. Okay. I think that's sound advice for those people. For those of us who's not really familiar with Perth City, so stick to the inner 20-kilometre ring. It's a good guidance. And in terms of the employment situation, because I know in our last discussion last year, you put on quite a bit of emphasis on the employment figures and the number of jobs that's available. That's going to be a key indicator on how the property market is going to act. Now, how's the current employment situation in Perth?
So it's very interesting. So mining has seen no slowdown, and in fact, it's seen the opposite. With the iron ore price at the moment.
Yep.
And so what they've actually done is they've gone, so if we pick on the big iron ore miners, which is part of the reason why Headland has done very well. So there used to be a lot of interstate and international FIFO work, 2 weeks on, 1 week off, go to Melbourne, go to New Zealand.
Yeah.
Because of COVID, what they've done is they've gone to their employees and said, look, the border's going to be shut in 2 weeks. You essentially have three choices. You can live residential full-time in, say, like a place like Port Headland or Karratha. You can FIFO in and out of Perth with your family, or you can go and get another job. So we've actually seen a large amount of people coming into the state, which has been fueling the rental market, where families have gone, hey, look, you're the only income earner. It's not very good where we are. Right, we'll come into Perth. So the mining industry, I don't think it will see it in statistics because the people that had a job that were already working, but we've seen an influx of people into the state with that. Our pain point is hospitality. And sadly, they're the people on the lowest rung in terms of wages. So an example, a client of mine owns three hotels. His vacancy rate a month ago was 8%. You know, those people, that's the pain point. And I don't think our state borders are going to be opening up till December. Mm. It's my opinion. I could be right. I could be wrong. But it's that hospitality, those low-income earners are really going to be in pain. Now, JobKeeper has been supporting them. But what happens in September for those people, that to me is going to be very interesting because they need support. Government policy is preventing them from going back to work. That will be our pain point. But I look at my own network of friends and even among my clients, I've had one client been negatively affected. His wife's a travel agent.
Right.
Everyone else is still back at work. So we're doing very well, but that hospitality tourism, that sector's in pain. I don't know when I'm going to be able to go to a footy game. And, you know, that employs a lot of people. You just think the stadium cleaners, the hotels, the casino that hangs off it, like it's that industry is, yeah, really in pain. So post-JobKeeper, that will be very interesting what happens to them.
In a sense, I think New South Wales and Victoria are kind of ahead in that hospitality front where we started to open up a lot earlier. So
yeah,
hopefully the other state's going to follow soon as well. So, you know, everyone's going to be able to catch up on the footies again.
Yay.
All right, Jazz, over to you.
Yeah, actually, just before we jump into commercial, David, Dave, in this case, you just touched on an important point, the JobKeeper, JobSeeker, and the mortgage suspensions. Is there a way that you guys have been able to measure somehow through different statistics what percentage of mortgages were actually suspended for this 6-month suspension that has been allowed as a part of the COVID?
Or? We don't have anything, but the best way I can compare it to is what's happened with tenants in arrears. That's sort of the best indicator I've got of what's happening on the ground. So West Australia's gone from an average of 2.8 to 3% to around mid 5% with tenants in arrears. So if you would extrapolate that to, well, those are tenants who can't pay rent, maybe extrapolate that out to owner occupiers. Mm-hmm. But the thing to remember, a mortgagee in possession sale is a long process. Typically, from when the arrears start to the forced sale is at least 18 months, in some cases up to 3 years. So we're not, and banks genuinely don't want to do it. It's not, it doesn't make anyone happy. And combined with that, we've actually had 5 years of those people in pain being forced to exit. We've got very strong demand with very little supply. So those sales that do occur, I don't think will have any meaningful impact on the market, particularly given that that process is so far down the road.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not seeing much negative from that at all.
We'll find out when we find out. Let's dig into commercial. We had a chat over the phone that we were really keen to get some commercial numbers or to get the true picture in the sense of what's happening in the commercial real estate. And so it's changing forever kind of thing?
Well, even our own office, we're now going, you can work from home 2 or 3 days a week. And I'm loving it. No commute, no traffic, no interruptions. I'm getting a lot more done. Feedback from pretty much everyone in the company is being positive. They're all loving it. So, look, I think office space across the world is going to go through a change. And I think it's going to be enduring. So, yeah, look, I see anywhere in the world, I see, you know, ongoing, particularly, you know, a commercial lease is 5 to 10 years, but I see pressure in that market space because there's just going to be less people needing it. When we start looking at shopping centres, they've in particular, so, you know, your 40-plus retail stores, there's very, very definite pain in those. So when you start walking around them in Western Australia, you see empty stores, completely gutted stores, and you're seeing a mix of tenants that are not right for that shopping centre. And that's because the owners have gone, we're going to have to drop our standards and we're going to have to take in this tenant that we don't really want just to make ends meet. So, and look, I think that was occurring pre-COVID, but COVID has definitely accelerated that. So if I pick on the Warwick Shopping Centre, you walk in through one of the three entrances, there's four shops, two of them are empty, just as you, immediately as you walk in the door. Mm-hmm. And once again, I think COVID has just accelerated that space. Your other commercial, too early to tell yet. The feedback from our commercial team is that where we're seeing problems, it's tenants that were already in trouble, who were already in arrears, who were not looking after the property. They're the ones where we're seeing pain. And they're the ones that we're in general having to move on. We run over $500 million worth of commercial assets for our clients. What we've seen is those smaller shopping centres, we've definitely seen some downturn, and we've seen a quarter where we in general haven't paid our investors, but this quarter we're back to paying them. And so look at that bigger commercial A-grade tenant, That's, I think, is going to come out of it reasonably well. But where I'm starting to see significant pain is your C and D class factory unit. One of the big four is no longer lending on them. The other three big lenders, I believe, will follow that. If you want to go and buy an empty C-grade factory unit, you'll need cash. I see significant pain in that market. I'll give you an example. Although I'm exceptionally tight, I'm looking at a property that was purchased by Main Roads for $1.6 million. They then took off a large chunk of the land. They've listed it for $900,000. And there's some because of the land that they've taken off for road widening, you can't actually access the back unit. So it's an L shape. You can get to the front, but you can't actually get to the back unit. So, you know, they haven't done it right. It's on the market for $900,000. It's been on the market now for 6 months. I'm going to try and get that for sub $400,000 for my client. So, you know, that, and look, he collects cars. And for him, it's going to be much cheaper to buy that than pay the rent he's doing on his current unit. And it's exceptionally well located. In 10 years to 12 years, he'll demolish the building, put something purpose-built that's better suited because you can't get to the back of it, and do very, very well out of it. So I see those small factory units. Unless lending is reinstated, I see some good pain coming there.
Do you think it will have a domino effect on residential? We had Chris on the show last week or the week before. We haven't published the episode yet, but his thoughts were that residential investors are completely different to the commercial, yes, and it shouldn't have any domino effect.
I agree.
Kind of agreed as well. But
yeah, no, I agree that they're very different segments. So commercial was having a heyday pre-COVID. We were seeing prices increasing, very strong demand. Mm-hmm. During the depths of COVID, we saw no one interested. But for that A-grade product, we're now seeing our clients coming back to us and going, yep, we're keen to put more money in. What have you got? That it's that C and D grade, I think, where the pain is going to start coming in.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. What are your top three picks in the Perth market?
To buy?
Yeah, for investors.
For investors. So my favourite suburb is a suburb called Bibra Lake. Mm-hmm. But there's a train line. You want to be close to it, but not too close to it. There's a major freeway extension to the north. You don't want to be close to that. And there is a large substation that actually feeds the bulk of Perth's electricity. You don't want to be close to that. Very tightly held. Very, very few properties come up. The suburbs to the immediate north are $200,000 more. The suburb to the immediate east is $150,000 more. it's just outstanding value, very close to infrastructure. It's about to get some new major infrastructure pushes. Without doubt, my favourite suburb in Perth at the moment. Just undervalued, quality homes, very, I'd say 60 to 70% white-collar workers. Yeah, outstanding suburb. Definitely my favourite. Mm-hmm. My other one, although the boat has now sailed a little bit, is Willoughby. Bit closer to Frio, a bit more north. You want to be there. There is a large amount of state housing to the south of Willoughby. You want to be to the north, but once again, very little stock comes up there, and it is getting seriously competitive in terms of pricing.
Mm-hmm.
And then the last one, if you've got some larger money, Double View in Wembley. Very affluent, once again, very short supply. Look for, in particularly in Wembley, you can buy a lot of older, very depreciated houses with a view to holding them, seeing some very strong land growth, and then selling them on to someone later on who wants to build a dream home.
Nice.
That's good. Yeah, that should be a good wrap for Perth market update for the time being.
Awesome. Yeah. Dave, I got a couple of questions.
Yeah.
Moving away from property.
Yeah.
Aliens, believer or not?
Life says we exist on Earth, the universe is infinite, there must be more life.
So you're a believer?
I'm a believer.
Do you think they're smarter than us?
They'd have to be. We voted in Donald Trump.
Last love your answer. Do you think they are obsessed about property like us?
No.
Probably they're smarter than us, that's why. AI, do you think AI is a threat to humanity?
I think it'll be both a blessing and a curse. Like anything, there'll be winners and there'll be losers.
Crypto, here to stay or a fad?
I think parts of it definitely here to stay. We're printing money like drunken sailors. And money's becoming just what you believe in it. It's not that the store of value is not there. So no, I'd say here to stay.
I love the answers, mate. We are of the similar opinions on these ones. That is pretty much all I had.
Beautiful. Solid episode. Mm.
Yeah, well, look, just remember, we've got increasing rents. We've got declining rental stock. We've definitely got declining quality of housing and numbers of housing. That's what makes it move. So yeah. Investors will be back in 6 months and just watch what happens.
No, that's great.
Definitely have to bring you back, mate, to get everyone updated about what's going on. Because data is always a lagging indicator. That's the thing. So it doesn't quite reflect what's accurately currently happening on the ground. And that's where, you know, for people like you who's actually on the ground, obviously dealing with property markets every day, speaking to agents, knowing what exactly is going on, who's looking to buy, that's critical information for any kind of investors to be making an informed decision on, you know, whether this is a market they should be watching or they should wait out for another few months.
No, time to be getting in. And those who love a bit of risk, definitely consider the Pilbara. You know, I've been getting yields of 15% and I'm buying at 2/3 to a third of replacement value.
Jazz, that sounds like you, mate. You're a risk taker.
To our listeners, this is not a financial advisor. So Dave has just mentioned is a high-risk investment. But look, Dave, thanks for coming on the show. Do appreciate your time. Your updates are always awesome. Perth market, I'm sure, is going to be kicking some goals next year. And listeners, hope you guys are enjoying the content. And if you are, please don't forget to give us a 5-star rating. None of this is a financial advice.
If you have any questions or feedback about today's episode, you can reach out to us through sparkyourfirepodcast@gmail.com. That's sparkyourfirepodcast, all one word, @gmail.com. Also, the content discussed in this episode is general in nature. Please seek specific advice from qualified professionals in regards to your personal situation.